We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Bob Nation.
Let's go, baby. Live from the Mecca.
We made it. We are back. And I don't want to say we're thriving. How would you describe the first, I guess, 12 hours or so in Vegas?
Could have been better.
Yeah.
Could have been worse.
That's true. we're live from the beautiful Circa Resort and Casino. If you guys want to come on down, book your stay with code DNVR20 and get 20% off. Pac-12 tournament already underway, but we continue with position previews today. We'll talk about the spring game a bit. Pro day's been moved. Boulder's about to get slammed with snow, and we're here in 65-degree weather.
Yeah, dude, I thought that this was going to be chilly out here.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 65 and windy.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, let me throw on a crew neck here. Major regret on that decision.
Yeah.
It's like, as soon as we're done here, I'm going back to my room, putting on a t-shirt or even a tank top, and coming back and enjoying the sun.
Yeah, it is beautiful out today. I love Colorado, but I don't really miss it right now. Just got to say.
No, I mean, it hasn't gotten bad yet. It's going to be fun when we're like sitting out here with our feet kicked back in this beautiful cabana provided to us by our friends at Circa. And we're just, like, scrolling Instagram stories of people just getting absolutely dumped on.
Yeah, all the players freaking out that the snow's up to their shins and stuff.
Yep. By the way, I did win money on Sigma Derby.
Is that what we were playing last night?
The ponies at the D Hotel.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I won $4 on that.
That was an experience. We had a very angry man next to us, too.
Oh, my God. I was so annoyed. We should have left earlier. He killed the vibes.
He absolutely killed the vibes. I don't know. Like, I guess you got to... I thought his whole shtick was just bullshit, but he was, like, telling them... This is a very old machine. It's, like, it's kind of, like, legendary in the area.
Right.
And it's one of those things where, you know, he was saying that he won and it didn't pay him out. I'm 99% sure he was just lying.
We were also playing with quarters, too.
We're playing with quarters.
We're talking about, like, $2 or $3 here.
And that's what I was going to say. But at the same time, like, Vegas already wins enough. If you really did win and didn't get paid out, I understand complaining over $2,
right.
Even though it's really just $2. But that's 8 more quarters to play, you know?
Right, fair enough. 1-2, the dream.
Yes, 1-2, Travis Hunter.
All right, let's get into it. Starting to dig into the final few position previews. We're going to knock out two today because kind of smaller position groups, but very important position groups, quarterback and tight end.
Yes.
We're starting with quarterback.
Yes, absolutely. Big battle for QB2.
For QB2.
First, we start with QB1, who gets talked about a lot on this podcast, but you can never talk too much Shedeur Sanders. Heart and soul of the offense, the best quarterback in America, the future Heisman Trophy winner, and the future number one overall pick.
Absolutely love it. I mean, he kind of set the stage. He proved all the doubters wrong last year who were saying he couldn't play at this level or questioning that he could play at this level. And then he just comes in and in the face of tremendous pressure just shows so much poise, so much just really clutch ability early in the season, definitely against TCU and Colorado State and then even against Arizona State. But, yeah, he's the best quarterback in the country. Of course, the bloodlines, but the guy is just super talented too.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it so much last offseason. We haven't talked about it nearly as much this offseason, but his ball placement is probably the number one reason he's going to go number one overall. You could also make the case, though, that his accuracy, or sorry, that his IQ.
Mm-hmm.
And when you mix extremely high caliber football IQ with the precision that he passes the football with, it's just a lethal combination. And we talked about it a little bit with Jalen Ellis. By the way, hope you guys enjoyed that. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch when we're done here. Go watch our interview with Jalen Ellis that we recorded on Monday, posted yesterday. He just had some great insights. But I think that in this new offense, and we talked about it with Jalen, we talked about it with Shador in terms of Shador knowing exactly where the wide receiver is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get into the whole choice route thing again, but by making him question where the wide receiver is going to be, you take away kind of one of his greatest abilities, which is he can throw guys open.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this year, when he sees that he's got a nine route, even if the wide receiver is covered, he can throw that back shoulder ball.
Right.
Or he can put it up where only Will Shepard can go get it. And so I'm really excited to see what the types of throws he can make when he knows exactly where the wide receiver is going to be. And he knows it's kind of covered, but he can throw them open.
Right. And just to go back a bit to what Jalen was talking about, I mean, he was saying, you know, if the ball's supposed to be thrown at a 12-yard break and the receiver breaks at 10, like, it's just those little things that really built up and caused him to be so hesitant that we saw later in the year. And, of course, the injuries mounted up. But the guy just – you surround him with talent like CU has at wide receiver, and it's just going to be fireworks. There's going to be points on the board. It's just, it's not even a question.
Absolutely.
QB2, we kind of mentioned it. We got three guys, all pretty intriguing in and of themselves.
Yep.
I guess let's start with Ryan Staub because – what he did against Utah after being thrown in against Nebraska and Washington State when Shador got hurt. There's something there with him.
Yeah, man. It must be such a good feeling for him that he kind of was put into bad positions just by circumstance, no one's mm-hmm. fault, leading up to especially the Washington State game when he got, you know, they're kind of just throwing anyone out there just to see if anything works. Finally, for the Utah game, unfortunately, Shador can't go, but it gives him a full week of preparation with the ones, with the coaching staff, with Pat Shurmur, and they're just going through everything to prepare him. And I think it must be a really validating feeling for Ryan Staub that with all of that on his side, he looked like he could play college football at this level. And I find it to be really interesting that he is still here. Again, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing for someone to transfer. But especially in this era where the grass really is always greener, there is something to be said for someone who stays, even though two more players were brought in at your position. Even though Coach Prime, in the press conference after Utah, said essentially, like, yeah, he's probably going to want to transfer now that he showed that he could start at this level. So, you know, maybe he ends up leaving the spring portal. No one would blame him if he did, I don't think. But it's very validating for him to have gone and done that and then say, like, okay, well, I know I can play now, but I want to play at Colorado.
Right. And then also, I mean, the guy was offered and committed to the staff before Coach Prime and everyone showed up. So he has just battled through a lot. It feels like he really wants to be a Colorado Buffalo. He really wants to make it happen in Boulder. And I mean, man, the Utah game, I know it was just kind of an anomaly for both teams because it was the end of the season. Both of them were kind of out. CU was fighting for a bowl game that game, but still, like, Travis was kind of iffy to go then. But Staub, I mean, kind of extending plays, just really quick in his processing. And I know it was only two plays against Nebraska, basically, but he got killed on one of them because he looked like kind of a deer in the headlights out there.
Yep.
But he really just grew, his confidence, I think, really grew over as the season progressed.
Yep, and in that final game, he learned a very valuable lesson. If 12's on the field, throw it to
him. Yep, exactly. Just throw it up.
And honestly, like I joke about that, but I really hope that Shador takes that more this year.
Yeah.
Again, he's, you know, we talk about this with Nikola Jokic. It's like he's a basketball robot. Like, he's just programmed to make the right play. So Jokic will throw a pass to a wide open player in the corner, even if they've missed 10 threes in a row, because it's just like right basketball play.
Right.
And over the course of time, that works. But Shador's kind of the same way. He's like, okay, well, Travis has single, but it looks like he's covered, so I'm going to go to the an open route. I hope that this year he just says, screw it, Travis is down there somewhere a couple times, because you just got to let that guy go fight for the ball one-on-one against anyone in the country. He's going to win that battle.
Well, that's how they pulled off that TCU upset.
And let me be clear. Travis doesn't get single very often.
Right.
It's not like this was happening all the time. But there were a couple times where Travis, I saw him, you know, jumping up and down the field, because it's like, okay, like, just give me a chance. I'm going to go get it for you.
But that's how they won the TCU game. Shador throwing it up for Travis.
Yes.
A few of them were, you know, incomplete in the end zone. But the I can't remember what down it was, but it was late in the fourth quarter, and Travis just runs the seam out of the slot.
Yep.
Just a huge play.
It was third and 13 or something.
Yeah.
Maybe even worse, third and 16.
Definitely. So, I mean, a valuable lesson, I guess, for all quarterbacks there. If you have someone as good as 12, just throw it up to them.
Yeah, and I mean, there are certain players who just go make plays for you. It's like, remember that, was that Justin Jefferson? It's like fourth and 18.
The Buffalo game?
Yeah. And he just chucked it up, and it's just like, okay, well, you had no choice but to give him a chance. And I know that Justin Jefferson goes back in the film room and is just like, this is what I've been saying to do every single play. Just throw it. I'm going to go get it. You know, and there's a time and a place for everything. But more just chuck it up for Travis is a good idea.
Yep. The next guy, Walter Taylor. I know I said there's the three quarterback race. It kind of feels like two to me between Staub and Walter Taylor. Walter Taylor's been working with Coach Daryl Colbert, Select QB Athletics.
Yep.
Big, big frame. I mean, we talk his ability about running the football, but also has a cannon arm. Lefty, too. But do you think that what?
I thought I got a raindrop for a second.
Do you think Walter Taylor can be QB, too?
I think he is. I think he's the leader. Yeah. Leader in the clubhouse. Now, again, I've been kind of talking about a potential Walter Taylor run package that I would love to see. So, like, does that count as him being QB2, or is it like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think he's going to be on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think there are very specific times where you want to take Shador off, and they are very few and far between. But QB sneak, QB power, you know, maybe a little, like, goal line read option type of thing, like, any of that stuff, I don't want Shador running those plays.
No.
The risk is not worth the reward, but there is a big reward. And you saw it with the Eagles last season, obviously, with the tush push. You see, you know, Buffs fans will remember Sefo Lufau during that 2016 magical season was like the best short yardage back in the country because they just ran QB power every time they needed to pick up a couple yards. It's a really valuable weapon in football if you can execute it and you have the offensive line to do, and I think they do, and I don't want it to be Shador. So I think Walter Taylor is going to be on the field for just, you know, maybe one or two plays a game.
Yeah. Well, last year we had the Rick Ross package that was kind of their, you know, break glass in case of emergency, we need to pick up a yard on the ground type of stuff. And if you have Walter Taylor back there now, you could – I don't want to say you could run the tush push because it's that's just not a play everyone can run, especially in college. But if you have a 6'5", 240-pound quarterback and you have this new offensive line, and shoot, bring in guys like Chidoze and Torreon Carter in those tight end slots that Shane Cokes and Bishop were playing last year, and that's just a – you can't – I don't want to say you can't stop that. That's a load to stop.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean – even just from a size perspective, like, his ability, you know, if you're third and one or something and he gets to the line and gets stopped, he can, you know, lunge, and he has a 6'8", 6'7" frame that is going to allow him to, you know, extend the ball and pick up those first downs.
Yep. Last guy, Destin Wade. Coming in from Kentucky, only played one game in his career, the 2022 Music City Bowl against Iowa. Wasn't pretty. Kentucky got shut out. He threw two picks. That's basically all we've seen of him actually on the field. But Walter Taylor's kind of similar, too, where I think he's only completed 50-some percent of his passes, and it's only 15 total passes.
Yep.
They're young players, very young players. They were all, I think, 22 or 21 recruits.
Yeah, he's the biggest unknown for me, just because we've seen Staub. We know kind of Walter Taylor's skill set. But Destin Wade is, I don't know, the wild card of this group. He's kind of a mix where he has that athleticism. But, again, just very little tape on him.
Yep. Yeah, we don't really know what we're getting, and I guess that's just one of the things that's going to unfold this spring.
And let's hope that we get to see some spring practices, because these will be like the insights that we'll be able to bring back. It's just
definitely
how these guys look. I mean, Walter Taylor is fighting a tough battle, which is quarterback mechanics when you're that tall. You know, there's a kind of been a cutoff in the NFL of you can actually be too tall,
right?
And he's definitely on that end of things. Mm-hmm. And the reason is just because you have much longer limbs. So, you know, it takes longer for your arm to move around.
It's more telegraphed and stuff.
Yeah, it's like the exact same reason why these tall guys are dominating golf right now. Because it's like you can generate so much speed and power, but in golf you don't have anyone trying to tackle you while you're hitting your shot. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see what DC, our guy, can do with him working on that and just trying to, you know, I'm guessing trying to make that motion just as compact as possible.
Yep. Do we want to try and predict Shador's stat line for the season?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you have?
I've got 3,900 yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
Okay. I was going to go 4,300 yards, like 35 touchdowns, and then I'll say 5 interceptions, and I feel like that even might be high.
I went a little lower on the yards just because I'm hoping they run the ball.
Definitely.
That would be nice. And if Alto wants to, you know, snake away some of his touchdown passes too, I'll live with that as well.
That's fair. We saw what he could do in the TCU game, though. I mean, he was setting school records first game in the black and gold, or white and gold, I guess, technically.
Again, you know, I always talk about how that game felt like a movie, but, like, there's so much going on that you sometimes just forget that we spent the entire offseason trying to tell the world that Shador is going to be just fine at Power 5. And in his first game, he goes out and sets the all-time single-game passing record at Colorado.
Yeah.
A school that, you know, has not had, you know, chumps for quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Cordell Stewart, I believe, held that record at one point.
Yeah. It was, I mean...
And then who did he steal it from?
Yeah, that's what I was going to... I think it was Coy Detmer, yeah.
Yep. I mean, just insane. Just insane. So
you think he can break that record again?
Yes. But again, it requires you to not run the ball to throw for over 500 yards.
Right.
I think he threw ball 50 times in that game.
Yeah.
He was cooking.
What a game. Shout out to our friends over at Coors Light. When it's time to chill, and we're chilling pretty hard out here in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
The mountains are always blue out here.
Oh, yeah.
Even in the... I don't want to say heat, but the nice weather, I guess, we're having.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the mountains are always blue. I think I remember when we were going our separate ways last night, cheersing you, and you were holding a Coors Light.
Yep, I was drinking a couple Coors Lights at the table. I had to.
How late did you guys stay out, though?
No idea. No clue.
I don't know.
Three?
No, it wasn't that late.
Oh, okay.
It was like no one idea. Or so, 1:30, I think, when I got back in. Anyways, shout out to Coors Light. When it's time to chill, Coors Light's the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. You can get it delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
And what's the end?
And American Financing.
All right, let them know.
Shout out You're to our friends over at American Financing. Everyone likes saving money. And if you are a homeowner, you can tap into your home's equity with American Financing. Their customers save an average of $854 a month by tapping into their home's equity and wiping out high interest credit card debt. Just takes 10 minutes to get started. Hit them up, 303-695-7000. They are a local Colorado-based company, but are licensed in all 50 states. So no matter where you're listening from right now, you can call that number, 303-695-7000. Tell them DMVR sent you, and you might be able to close in as fast as 10 days and may be able to delay two mortgage payments. Again, 303-695-7000 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/DMVR, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Since I missed my ad read, I'll just add that we are at Stadium Swim, and we are also just weeks away from March Madness.
Yeah.
And I guess a week, right?
Week and a half, right?
Week and a half. Kind of a week. No, today's Wednesday.
So a week and one day.
Can you imagine being right here for a full day of March Madness?
Aren't you going to be?
I will be. Yes. I wasn't going to bring that part up. I don't want to rub it in, but I will be here.
I mean, I'll be at the DMVR bar. That's the next best place.
It honestly is. Probably best place in Colorado.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I just mean, like, everyone in the world should get to experience that.
Mm-hmm.
A full day of watching games on that massive screen that you can see behind us, placing bets, hanging out in the pool, drinking Coors Lights. Like, that is truly living. So make sure that you come check out our friends here at Circa. They take such good care of us here.
They really hook it up. You got hooked up today with the coffee?
Yeah, you know, not going to throw anyone under the bus, but someone, not Jake, knocked over my coffee. And then I went back to the coffee shop. I'm like, someone knocked over my coffee. Can you maybe, like, top it off? And they were like, yeah, of course. Give me one. Great people.
I'll just add, all the food here has been bomb as hell, too.
Yep. Yeah, I was actually randomly reading, like, a Reddit post one time. I was looking for restaurants around here. Like, I just typed in best restaurants on Fremont. And the top comment was, 8 East might be one of the best restaurants in Vegas.
Let's go.
It's so good. We had it last night. Brisket fried rice. I'll be honest, every time I think I'm going to venture out, try something new, but you only get to be here so often.
Right.
And you're not going to eat there every day, even though you probably could.
Yeah.
You just got to get the brisket fried rice.
Yeah. Best thing there for sure. All right, on to the tight end room. A few guys that we'll talk about after Shimon Mateer, but really he's coming here to be the guy and had a good season last year, scored 5 touchdowns, if I remember right, and showed some true promise with bad quarterback play. Now he's going to play with the best quarterback in the nation in Shedeur Sanders. What is the ceiling for Shimon Mateer in this offense?
First of all, everyone in the chat keeps saying I'm sweating. I'm really not. The sun went behind the cloud. Now I'm actually glad
yeah,
I have
Yeah, it feels really nice right now, actually.
I'm glad I have this on. I think that Shimon Mateer maybe has entered the not talked about enough transfer category.
Yeah, I think so.
It's hard to, you know, it's like feeding the meter. Mm-hmm. On every player, like, got to make sure that, you know, you don't run out of time. It's like, I think we forgot to feed the meter on Shimon Mateer. We've said it before, but I'll say it again. Shedeur took a walk-on wide receiver, converted to tight end. And, of course, credit to Mikey and to Coach Brew for the work that they did. It wasn't all Shedeur, but Shedeur was able to get him to the team lead in touchdowns. Is that right?
I'm trying to pull it up right now.
I think he had 6 touchdowns, which led the team. Either way, it was definitely in the top 3.
He had 5.
Okay.
Looking at the team, receiving touchdowns, Jimmy had 6.
Okay.
So Travis and Mikey had 5.
One below the team lead for a walk-on wide receiver converted to tight end. And Shimon Mateo is just coming in as like a seasoned veteran tight end.
Yep.
Who has the size of a tight end, who is experienced in the tight end route tree, who knows some of the ins and outs and tricks of getting open as a tight end. Things that just obviously weren't going to be there for Michael Harrison in year one at the position. I think that we might be looking back mid-season saying, why didn't we talk more about Shimon Mateo potentially leading the team in touchdowns or potentially, you know, leading the team in receptions even. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy right now because there's so many great weapons at wide receiver, but it's clear that Shador likes throwing to that position.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude has had a lot of success with not the greatest quarterback situations. Now he's walking into the best quarterback situation he could possibly walk into. I think he's a potential like superstar at the position.
Definitely. This is a guy who it's been kind of a slow burn in his college career. Comes in 2021, doesn't see the field, red shirts. Starts to see the field in 2022, gets hurt, misses half the season. And then he emerges as a starter last year for Cincinnati. You mentioned it, bad quarterback play. They were probably one of the, if not the worst team in the Big 12 last year. But he still put up 5 touchdowns. He had 23 receptions. Like, that's just literally only a glimpse of what he could do with a player like Shador Sanders throwing him the football.
Yep.
You mentioned the, you know, physical ability. He's massive, like 6'5", 240. Like, this is a true tight end. Something that we didn't have last year, or we did, I guess, in Louis Passarella, and then he got hurt, and we just never saw him. So it's going to be just game-changing, having that physical presence out there. And if he can contribute in the run game and really be that true wide tight end, I think that's how he gets superstar status. I mean, just you can't take him off the field at that point because he's a weapon in the passing game. He's going to help you out in the run game. If that's the case, then, yeah, this is a real player, a real NFL-caliber player.
Absolutely, 100%. And weirdly enough, maybe not the most intriguing player at the position just because of the two guys who are joining the crew of switching to tight end.
Mm-hmm. Savelle Smalls and Morgan Pearson. So both of them played tight end slash wide receiver in high school. Also played on the defensive side of the ball. Morgan at linebacker, Savelle Smalls at the edge position. But just big guys. And you want to talk about being physical and protecting Shador and running the football better? Bulking up at tight end is going to be a huge factor in that.
I mean, 100%. And everything that we just said about Shimon Mateo in terms of, you know, the situation that they're in and the potential to break out, I think can be said of these other guys. Now, it's going to be really hard for one of them to unseat him as TE1.
Yeah.
But the physical gifts and natural talent that those two guys have could really translate to this position. I think Savelle Smalls, obviously being a former 5-star, is the one I'm most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them are exciting. Savelle, like, he's got so much untapped skill or so much untapped talent, you know, just in terms of, we know he has the physical gifts. We know he has explosiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen it work for him on the field. For whatever reason, it didn't translate to the edge position nearly as much as, obviously, you know, the people who are tasked with scouting these guys believed he would. But would it be a huge shock if all of a sudden he starts looking like a 5-star player at tight end?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
It's exciting.
I'll just shout out Morgan Pearson again because even, you know, he was CU's highest rated recruit before Coach Prime came in, you know. Of course, that class kind of got torn to shreds after that, but still, he was able to stick around and just reading into, like, his background and when he was in high school, like, this guy was getting a lot of pop and a lot of people were very excited about him and they mentioned that he could end up on either side of the ball at receiver or tight end on offense, like, He's truly just an athlete who's trying to find his way and exactly where he fits in on the football field at this point.
Absolutely.
I'll throw out Louis Passarella and Elijah Yelverton, too. Louis Passarello was on the roster before Coach Prime got here, and he was looking like the starting tight end for a while. Had some sort of leg injury that, you know, held him out for the most all the season, really. I don't know what to expect from them, but I have to imagine that the work that they put in last summer and last football camp means something.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Louis Passarello is one of the first guys to get his number.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely a sleeper in the position. Mm-hmm.
And then just a few more notes before we hit break. Pro Day got rescheduled. I saw some people asking me if this is good for Zay, if he could probably compete. It's like an extra 4 days. So instead of happening on Thursday, it's going to happen a week from yesterday on Tuesday. That's only like 4 or 5 days. I mean, it could happen, but I think Zay's pretty much I doubt he competes at this Pro Day.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It is what it is, but it's really, really bad timing for him to not be able to participate in this stuff. We thought his stock should have been a lot higher to start. Mm-hmm. It didn't. His starting stock was not as high as we expected it to be, and unfortunately he hasn't had any opportunities to raise that stock during this offseason program. So in the end, it's unfortunate for Zay, but it's also going to be a great opportunity for some NFL team to get a steal.
For sure. Can't wait to see where he ends up. And then last little note I have before we get to basketball and the tourney preview. The spring game is not going to be on ESPN.
Yeah. That seems interesting to me. I don't remember how the ratings shook out last year, but I remember there being, you know, stats about a lot of people watching
them. Yeah, I think it was most watched spring game ever.
And I just saw that Alabama? I think it's Alabama's going to have the only ESPN main channel televised spring game. And I tried to do some research into this and look to see if anyone has ever aired their spring game on Fox. Obviously, Fox is kind of the unofficial CU channel. You know, they've got a lot of Coach Prime's buddies working there. And they really embraced the Buffs last year. But as far as I could see in, you know, a quick Google search, I didn't see anyone that had their spring game aired on there. That doesn't mean they can't do it, though.
Right.
It'd be interesting to see. It would be a missed opportunity on a random Saturday in April where college sports are kind of in the dark to not take a chance on airing that spring game.
Yeah, we'll see. This is, I guess, maybe one of the actual, like, drawbacks of not having a network like the Pac-12 network anymore, because it probably would have just been showed on there regardless. I know probably not a lot of people could have watched it, but we'll see what happens. I actually do have one more note, and we got to shout him out. Our guy Chandler Durrell is leaving the program.
Yeah, that's a bummer, I think, for us, because he did a great job in his role. You could tell that he got a lot of love from all of the people that he worked with. Colorado, I said it before when he was retained, but it was, I thought, a huge feather in his cap in this profession that Coach Prime wanted to keep him around despite being the son of the former coach. You know, a lot of people would have assumed that was just nepotism, that he was there in the first place. He proved that wrong to the point where someone who came in and had no problem replacing anyone wanted to keep him.
Yep.
So I have a feeling that this is going to be a big job for him, and we wish him nothing but the best.
Definitely, man. He was just super awesome. Was always very approachable. He'd come down to the DMVR bar sometimes and hang out. We're going to miss him. And just like you said, I can't wait to see what's next for him, because I have a feeling it's going to be a pretty damn good job.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the Pac-12 preview. First, shout out to our friends over at Empire Today. Just getting back in the hotel room last night and, like, turning on the TV, I think I saw at least 3 Empire Today ads.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They're going hard out here in Vegas. And they can help you find the best new floor for your home or business. You can't beat them on quality or service. All they know is flooring, guys. They're not going to try and upsell you on anything else for your house. They're just trying to get you the best floors possible. You can use their virtual floor designer. It's a great way to try out and see exactly what you want your new flooring to look like. Try a variety of options as well. You can schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 off discount when they use the promo code DMVR. Some restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com /DNVR for details.
Also, shout out to our friends over at Illegal Pete's. You guys know the deal. The queso is unreal. The vibes are honestly unreal. And it's almost patio season, which means it's Illegal Pete's patio season. Head on down to Illegal Pete's. They have great margaritas, chips and queso, steak queso burrito, reverse nachos, anything and everything you could want over at Illegal Pete's. So hit up our go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. That is Illegal Pete's.
See you soon, Illegal Pete's.
Also, a couple people have asked, so we're putting this out there informally. If you are in Vegas today and you are enjoying this lovely first-round bye for the Buffs, off day for the Buffs, and you're looking for something to do, we're going to be hanging out at the Sportsbook watching some of the other Pac-12 games, the Nuggets, around 4:30. So, as I said on Twitter, just DM me if you're coming by, and I'll let you know exactly where we're at. But come hang out if you're looking for something to do in Vegas today. You gotta see a game at Circa if you haven't already. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to basketball. The tourney's underway right now. Trying to pull up the scores here. But the Buffs, as you said, they don't play till tomorrow. They will play the winner of the Arizona State-Utah game. That'll be the last game we watch tonight. USC and Washington going at it right now. In the second half, the Trojans with a one-point lead. Cody is back, too.
Let's go, dude.
Our guy Scott Proctor reported yesterday that Cody is back.
That's huge. And I think, first of all, I need USC to cover 3.5 if you're keeping score at home.
Mm-hmm.
So they're up one now. Let's go get that covered. I think the Buffs have a real chance to win this tournament.
They have the second best odds.
Yep.
All over the place. I know Arizona's a heavy favorite, but you know, we talked about this, I think, whenever the last time we talked about the Buffs basketball team. They're just getting hot at the right time. They have a player in KJ Simpson that could absolutely just take over and win you games in March. And now you get your best young player back in Cody Williams. Like, things are all just turning up for them right now.
Absolutely. There's one massive caveat, and it's that Arizona has our number. Mm-hmm. It's a really bad matchup for the Buffs that Arizona, you know, poses. They've got seemingly endless size. They don't really put anyone on the floor that can't make jump shots. And they just seem to just give us fits on both ends of the court. So, it's going to take an upset. Arizona's going to get the winner of this game that's going on currently. You know, maybe USC can give them a little trouble with some of the high-caliber playmakers that they have. But
yeah,
it would take a miracle. I mean, it's probably going to be a plus 700 type of underdog.
Right.
Maybe a little less. And then, again, they're on the complete opposite side of the bracket from Colorado, yep, which is huge. So you've got, I think the next game today is UCLA, Oregon State. The winner of that will take on Oregon. What about Oregon? A team that has dealt with a ton of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be the ones, and they kind of always perform well in this Pac-12 tournament, can they be the ones to unseat Arizona in the semifinals?
So just looking through the schedule right now, they played Arizona a few weeks ago, lost by 20. That was in Tucson. Trying to find the first matchup. So the first matchup in Oregon, they only lost by 9. Oregon's loaded with talent, too. That's the thing. And their guys have just missed a lot of games, just like Colorado.
Yep.
I think by far leading the country in most missed games from their starting five rotation.
Yep.
So they have the talent to do it. I don't know. Oregon just, they were much better last year than they were this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just think that there's got to be a bad game from Arizona around the corner at some point, because they are not great. They have had some massive letdowns this year. I think they were a top five ranked team at one point, and just put together some ugly losses. So I think it's just going to take them a big letdown game from them. Here's the other problem, though, Jake. Their fans travel to this tournament exponentially better than any other fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of turn these things into home games for Arizona. And credit to their fans. It's a massive advantage. And an advantage that they're not going to have in the Big 12. So this is the last year for the home court in the conference tournament for Arizona, which probably means their fans are going to show up even more. Mm-hmm. They're just going to have to lay an egg. I think it's most likely to happen against Oregon. But, heck, maybe a third time's a charm for the Buffs if they do get to the championship game and see them.
Right, yeah, it's a, you know, Washington State with that 2 seed. I think they're the team that really took it to Arizona the most this year. I know they had the weird loss against USC to end the season, but that was just kind of everything was clinched at that point. Like, that game literally meant nothing.
Yep.
With Cody, what should we expect out of Cody? Do you think he's going to come back and, you know, just be the guy that who is really ascending into Colorado's best player, or is it going to take some time for him to kind of find his footing again?
I don't know. This is a weird time to rejoin the team. They've won 6 games in a row. I don't know how many of those he was a part of. Was he part of any of them?
No. I think he's been out the entire time. Or actually, it was the comeback against USC. That's what started the...
The 6-game?
It's what started the streak. I think that's the game that he got hurt in.
Wow. So, again, kind of a weird time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think another part of this is they've just been playing KJ Simpson every minute of the game, literally.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe you don't mess with that. If I had to choose a, you know, something to not sacrifice here, I know that those two aren't one for one, but there were times earlier in the season where they would have Cody bring the ball up, mm-hmm. Especially when KJ wasn't on the court. So I think it's going to take him a little bit. If the Buffs are going to make a run, though, and win this thing, there's going to be a 20-point Cody Williams game in there.
There has to be. D. Mills mentions bring him off the bench. I don't think – I mean, the starting five has really gelled a lot lately since, but I feel like they were having success going smaller, you know, taking Eddie off the floor, putting Luke in, and just rolling with that kind of lineup before Cody got hurt.
Here's one thing that Cody brings that does not matter how you fit in, and that's – immense defensive effort.
Yes.
And because of that, there's no way Tad's bringing him off the bench, because Tad is going to give him the assignment of the other team's best, you know, wing to go and stop them. So I don't think he's going to come off the bench. Maybe he does, though. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be shocked by anything as Tad Boyle tries to make sure that his team stays hot. But it feels like, you know, if you're going to – I don't know. You could get upset in this tournament by letting someone get hot. You know, in tournament settings, a lot of times an upset happens because one guy hits like 8 threes. And I think that when Tad is envisioning these games in his head, he's just like, okay, well, if Cody's on their, you know, big 3-point shooter on the wing or whoever it is, that's not going to happen.
We're rooting for Utah tonight?
No, we're rooting for ASU.
Okay.
But I did bet on Utah.
Utah would be the better win in terms of metrics and all that. Bubble watch, if you still even really think. But DraftKings took off the odds.
Yes, DraftKings did completely remove the Buffs from the odds to make the tournament section, which was really just all bubble teams.
Yeah.
So in DraftKings' eyes, the Buffs are no longer a bubble team.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Tomorrow at 9:30 Mountain Time is tip-off. 8:30 out here.
Crazy.
Yeah.
11:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
There are going to be, like, big Buffs fans who don't watch that game.
Yeah. But this is the final send-off for the Pac-12, really. We don't have baseball in the summer. I know some schools do, and there is a baseball season going on, but this is it for Colorado.
Yep, and then it's – if they were to win that, then it would be 7:30 the next night. 8:30 again. No, 7:30.
Yep.
So, then if they make the championship, that one's at 6.
Stay tuned. All right, Alyssa, what do we got today?
Eric Johnson says, I plan on going to the K-State game in Boulder, coming from Pittsburgh. Do you think we'll win that game? I need to link and take a picture with you guys for sure.
Absolutely. Come by the tailgate and party with us. It's going to be a great game.
It's going to be one of the tougher games on the schedule.
Yep. I love that it's at home, though.
It's going to be massive that it's at home. We'll see. There's still, I think, a lot with K-State, particularly just Avery Johnson. Yep. Going to be a full-time starter. Can he kind of grow into one of the Big 12's best quarterbacks right away? I know he's extremely athletic, but we got to see it play out in multiple games, not just stretches where he comes in, you know, late in the season or whatever.
Yeah, I think Kansas State is being very overvalued
okay.
by kind of like Big 12 prognosticators. Obviously, well-coached team, one of those programs that plays a little differently than the rest of the conference, which a lot of times can be an advantage if you're good at it. They're good at it. But I don't think they have the juice. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be good, not great this year.
They're just always a super tough team. Even when they're like their worst years, they're like a 6-7 win football team, and they're going to give you a game every week. So,
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see exactly what K-State we get.
Surferboy 3000 says, "What are we drinking on right now, fellas? Besides the waters,
coffee.
I've got nothing right now. I'll have something very soon after this.
I was going to say I got a. I have a meeting after this, and then we're back to Vegas.
Yep, back to kicking it.
Yep.
Some Coors Light. That's what I'll be drinking.
Hell yeah, I'm with you on that."
Tally Heat says, "What's your prediction for the wide receiver reception yards if number two does only have 3,900 yards passing?"
We kind of already did this on the wide receiver prediction ones, but I like how we say only 3,900. one guy easily over 1,000, and then a couple other guys kind of hovering around it.
Mm-hmm. If I had to rank the players, I'd go Wester, Shepherd, Hunter.
Wow. Interesting. I don't know.
In terms of receiving yards.
Yeah. I would put Travis 1 or 2.
Okay.
Okay, next question again from Surferboy. He says, "Why does CU not have a baseball team?"
That's a long story.
It's mostly just like a money thing. You know, the football program's been down for a long time. And because of that, the athletic department has been hurting for money. And it costs a lot of money to start programs. You know, it would be tens of millions of dollars just to build the facility. And if you were to add baseball, you would have to add softball, which would be cool. But again, that's another thing that you have to build, sustain. And so the athletic program, athletic department has simply not been in a position to expand over the last few years.
Well, I can't remember when it was exactly. I think it was the 80s that the baseball team was taken away.
Yeah.
And CU was in a lot of financial trouble back then, and they lost like 6 sports.
Yeah.
Starting programs takes a lot.
And I mean, football, at almost every school, football is the only one that makes money.
Right.
So you're, you know, like one of the things Rick George was brought to come in here and do is run the athletic department more like a business. Mm-hmm. To get CU into a better financial standing. I think he's done a pretty good job of that. Obviously, now with the Coach Prime hire, things have changed. But it will take several years of selling out every football game before we start talking about expanding the athletic department. Yeah.
Cam Duncan wants to know, will Jordan Seaton be a freshman All-American?
Should be.
Yep.
Pretty sure Caden Proctor was last year, and that's...
Wow.
I mean, he had a rough start to the season, but really came on for Alabama at the end of the year and was the reason why they were able to make that playoff run.
Yeah, I mean, I assume there won't be too many true freshmen starting left tackles in the country. Jordan Seaton, obviously the heavy favorite to be Colorado starting left tackle. And if he just goes out there and plays well because of all the hype and kind of brand awareness that he has, he'll be a first-team All-American.
Yep. Big year for him coming up.
Dev DeBoss wants to know, what do you guys think about Eddie showing up in the Pac-12 tourney?
Lampkin? I mean, this is kind of what he's about. You know, the big moments and bringing that edge in those moments.
This is a, you know, there's in pro sports, you talk about a guy being like, he's made for the playoff
exactly.
roster.
Yes.
That's exactly what Eddie is. And one of the reasons is because he brings the energy. There's something about playing in these tournament games that's a little odd. You're playing in a 20,000-seat stadium. There might be 8,000 people there, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's a little echoey in the gym. It can sometimes feel a bit like an exhibition. But the intensity is totally different. And having Eddie out there to be running and jumping and screaming and yelling kind of brings that playoff feel, mm-hmm. that postseason feel to the floor. And obviously, best game of his career, still to this day, was in the NCAA tournament for TCU against Arizona.
Yep. He's had a little bit of an up-and-down season, I think. I mean, he really came in and showed off his ability to pass the basketball and just, like, find, you know, had great court vision. But then he's gotten a little sloppy as we've kind of gone through the season. So, for him, I think it's just about riding that line of intensity and not allowing yourself to get too excited and too, just exert yourself too much or try to do too much, I think. He just got to be himself, and he'll be okay.
Totally.
Our guy Connor wants to know, what's the perfect amount of time in Vegas?
The perfect amount of time?
This trip's pretty close. 4 days.
I could go home right now.
I mean, 2 or 3 days, I think, is all you really need if you're trying to do it all.
Yeah. 3 days is the perfect amount of time. You get here, you have a night. You sleep in the next day, screw around during the day a little bit, have another night, and then get the hell out of Dodge.
Yep. Yeah, Super Bowl week was a lesson in pacing in Vegas.
I don't think I learned my lesson.
I don't think I did either.
I knew I was in trouble last night. We were walking on Fremont. I ordered a drink, and the dude, I swear to God, poured half a bottle of Espolòn into my drink. And I was just like, okay, here we go. It's going to be a night.
That's why I switched to Coors Lights. I know they got me.
Yeah. No, that was a smart move on your part. If I could go back, I would have done that.
Reef says 5 to 7 days. Andre says
5 to 7 days is
that's a lifetime.
That's actually considered inhumane.
Yeah.
In some cultures.
Andre Nichols says 2.6 days. Yeah. 2.5 days. That's about it. Yep.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I was thinking. Is
yeah, show up kind of later in the day, have a night, then sleep in like you said, yep. Go get a nice brunch, breakfast, lunch, whatever, then kind of just do whatever around town, go out again, and then maybe leave a bit later the next day.
I don't think I could actually do it, but I bet I could spend 5 days here comfortably and have a good time if I just didn't drink or gamble.
Right. Right.
Like, there's probably really cool things to do and see.
Yeah.
And I would just be thinking, like, okay, you take the exact budget that you would normally say you're going to gamble. Then you, like, add a couple extra hundred because you would probably get drunk and forget that you set that limit for yourself. And then just, like, put that into other cool experiences.
Yeah.
Like, going to a show, going to a concert at the Sphere.
Just going to see the Sphere.
Yeah, going to, like, an incredibly nice dinner. I think, just, like, chilling by the pool all day.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do 5 and have a good time if you just took out the degeneracy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But then you don't have as much fun.
It's true. And you don't have the chance of getting rich.
That is also true.
Okay, next one from Savion. He says, how long do you guys think the current coordinators stay for, and how long do you think they recruit, or does it their recruiting not matter because of our recruiting staff?
Did you understand the question?
I think the second part, so like, how much are Shermer and Livingston actually recruiting right now? And just from hearing, Jalen and Shador and all these other guys talk about Pat Shurmur? Because a lot of people, when that move was announced, had doubts. Like, oh, this old, like, washed-out NFL coach, can he go recruit and do this? Can he relate to the college kids? But he seems to be really – I don't even know what the word is, but the kids kind of just gravitate towards him and love just soaking up the information. So I think that in and of itself, I don't know how much recruiting he's actually going on the road and doing. And same with Livingston. But Livingston's been there and done that. He's a young coach. He coached at Vanderbilt and Furman. Like, he's done it.
Every coach in college has to recruit, but I wouldn't complain if Pat Shurmur were spending most of his time drawing up the offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he's here to do. His success or failure will not rest on recruiting.
Right.
His success or failure will rest on this offense this year operating like a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, I kind of feel like he found like a new love for the game.
Yeah.
Not that he ever stopped loving football, but it feels like, I don't know, I covered him when he was the Broncos offensive mm-hmm. coordinator. He was a crotchety, like, grumpy man.
Yeah.
He looks like he is having the time of his life at mm-hmm. CU. It's really awesome to see, like, as someone who I don't know Pat personally, I just like seeing people be happy.
Yeah.
The dude looks like he is, again, just like he found a new thing that he loves about football. I think it's this, you know, helping these kids and telling them what it takes to
exactly.
go achieve their dreams. It's just really cool to see. It's I don't know. It's like when you see a friend like in like a early relationship where they're just like honeymoon phase, like everything is the greatest thing in the world. Like that's right. what it just looks like for Pat Shurmur.
Well, that's kind of what Coach Prime says too. Like why he wants to do it in college and not in the NFL is because it's about the enthusiasm from the kids and molding the young men. Not, you know, it's not a job for them. I mean, they are getting paid, of course. We know that now, but it's not. You're not bound by contracts, and you're not worrying about, you know, your trade value, and, you know, is my agent going to be able to work out this in my next deal? Like, that, you, all this stuff you have to deal with in the NFL, it's just, you don't have to worry about it. It's really, we're kind of getting away from it, but it's more so about football, purely about football at times, and trying to become the best player you can be. And who had the comment here? Someone mentioned Juju Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, he mentioned Pat Shurmur, like, mm-hmm. when he came down. Like, mm-hmm. the kids love him. And I guess one last thing. Let's be honest. So this program is it recruits at the level it does because it's Coach Prime.
Yes.
So while I do think they're good coaches, I don't really think they move the needle too much in terms of the ability to recruit CU.
Yeah, and I think CU can blaze a different trail when it comes to recruiting. Like the way it normally works is these guys go through position coaches and then they're kind of passed along through the recruiting staff and then, you know, maybe they get a little bit of time with that coach, mm-hmm. Which is going to happen still. But with the focus on professional coaching, you could kind of just make it be like recruiting staff to Coach Prime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yep. the recruiting staff at Colorado is incredible. And again, you're going to have touch points with a lot of coaches along the way. But I guess, like, on average, I'm not exactly sure what the word I'm looking for is, but, you know, you can make that be the process. Everyone, mm-hmm. like you said, people are interested in Colorado because of Coach Prime. All of the other things then open their eyes to them. You know,
right.
The beauty of the campus, the other players around them, the coaching staff, et cetera, et cetera. But it's Coach Prime that's opening the door, and it's Coach Prime who's going to close the deal at the end anyway. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly.
Super chat from Baron. He says, who does better in the March Madness, CU men's or women's team?
Ooh, what a question.
I mean, the women are going to have a much should have a much easier path.
And they'll get to play at home.
Yeah. Likely they'll play at home. They still have to get the 4 seed.
Right. Brian had a tweet. Someone who was in 4 seed contention was upset.
Yeah, there's a few things that went their way.
Yeah, you were talking about this yesterday. Like
yep.
4 games, and they all went CU's way.
Yeah, it would have been a crazy parlay because I think all of them were favorites that lost. Anyways, I'll take the women, but the men are peaking at the right time.
I think I'm going to take the women also. Actually, the more I think about it, I think I'm going to take the men because I just think they have a player in KJ who can really carry them. And we kind of talked about this yesterday. The women are a great basketball team, but they just don't really, you know, Jalen Sherrod is a star in her own right, but they don't have a superstar. You know, a player that can really just, like, take over games, you know. Frida can hit a few threes and really create a run on her own, but it's not a... I don't want to say it's not reliable, but it's... KJ's just got more of that.
Yep.
More pop.
Also, I have a meeting very soon.
Okay. How much more do we got?
Just a couple more. Jermaine says, RK and Jake, do you guys plan on strategically grabbing any Pac-12 signage at the end of the tourney as a keepsake?
Nah.
I got enough for media day.
There you go. I won't miss the Pac-12.
Yeah. I will miss it, but I won't miss it for CU's sake.
Yeah, there we go.
Last one from Baron Super Chat says, what's up, Alyssa? Are you guys getting us shot glasses?
What?
I don't know. What is that reference?
I think he asked us if we could get him shot glasses while we were out here.
Are
who
we getting...
said?
Who is what? It? Baron.
Okay. Well, someone else's responsibility, not me.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right, chat. Fun show. We'll be back out here tomorrow. We got a game later tomorrow night as well. Stay tuned. If you're in Vegas, come hang out with us at Circa.
Look at this place.
Shoot us amazing. A DM.
See you guys.
See you guys later. Go Buffs.
Y'all seem like the mayor.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.